And so most of you know him. Some of you don't know Bob and Karen. And I just like to real quick just that they didn't come to present their work here, and then we just joined them. But we were, if you remember, we were praying as a body about where God wanted us to partner. And over time, God just kept pointing and directing and moving and leading and down into the Caribbean. And then I had talked to somebody who knew people down in there, and they gave me a couple names. And anyways, I talked to Bob on the phone for a good hour the first time we talked. And Bob's comment, final comment, I'll never forget, was, well, I guess we just have to come down and find out whether we are what the Lord's leading you to. And so I said, oh, that was the first time I've actually had been challenged that way. And, you know, because most of them don't really care if they, you know, I'm disrespectful to missionaries. But anyways, but yeah, I appreciate the fact that he cared, that we cared, you know, and that we knew what they were all about. And so I went down, and Marsh and I were extremely impressed. And anyways, so it's yours now.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, there's a couple things that were going on. First of all, my parents are 85 and 86, and about 3 years ago, they could no longer support us for $1,000 a month. And so we lost that support, $1,000 a month. And I'm sure if your income dropped by 1,000, you would probably feel it as well. And about that time, you guys came along. It's like, okay, you know, because we didn't even solicit. You know, we didn't even know you guys. In fact, Bob had written me an email, which I never got. And then one of the guys from the mission wrote, and he said, they're a good church. You might want to respond. Now, if you don't want to, that's okay. It's like, I didn't get an email, you know, which never happens, you know. So anyway. So, yeah, and also Bob is one of the, it's not that we go back and forth a lot, but Bob is probably the only pastor that we really have in the States that I can text or call or whatever and, you know, go back and forth. So very comfortable. So anyway, yeah. So it's good to be here today. Yeah. Yeah. What time is it?
11:06.
All right. Give it about another 10, no, about another 5 minutes. And oh, I don't know if I can say it. Yeah. About another 5 minutes, and my fiance was walking down the aisle. So 35 years today. Yeah. Now, am I supposed to stand up there or down here? Wherever I want.
I put my Bible and my message there.
Okay.
And then I preach from here.
You know, I appreciate real Christians who have real Bibles. I don't have one. I just don't. Anyway, yeah. Okay, all right. I'm kind of flipping through stuff here. So anyway, all right. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to share from the Word this morning. Normally when I speak, I just look at my history, and I always speak on either evangelism or discipleship. I am not today. This is very rare for me. I'm actually going to be speaking from Philippians. I'm actually speaking what I spoke on last Sunday, okay? But you guys are getting half of it, because what we're going to do this morning is just take some time to look at the Word. And what we're looking at this morning is very simple, okay? It's very simple, all right? It's difficult to practice, but it's very simple. And then the second half, we're going to talk about ministry and what's going on in Puerto Rico. Now, a fair amount of the second half really depends on you guys, okay? So questions are welcome. Questions are welcome. So anyway, also in my preaching style, I do a lot of interaction. So if I ask a question, I really am looking for an answer, okay? I really, really am. I do a lot of interaction, so we do that. Also like to introduce some friends of ours, Matthew and Laura Bigelow. We've known them for years and years, met them over in Spain. And Matthew is retired chief, and they were in Rota, Spain, and we were in Rota, Spain. We were in the South for about 6 years, and so became good friends, lots of good times together. And Spain was a very hard time in our life, so it was good to have good friends and just go over and, you know, spend some time there. So good. All right. Good. All right, let's pray, and then you're going to open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to move up here. Yeah. God in heaven, we're grateful for today. Thank you. Thank you for Father's Day, when we can remember our dads, and on the other hand, we can be remembered. And Father, we thank you for that. I thank you, God, for this church and their love for us and their desire to live truth and know truth. It's very, very precious. And just thank you. We're grateful for Jesus, died on the cross and loves us so deeply. Look forward to seeing him someday. And to chat with Jesus, to know Jesus. Wow, that'll be so wonderful. Father, we're grateful because you constantly work in our lives. You lead us and guide us and teach us. And you're very, very patient. And as we said earlier, you don't give us as our sins deserve. God, we thank you. This morning, as we look at your word, I pray and ask that you would bless us and help us as we work at this discipline. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Bob,
yes, sir.
Prefer to have that stand up here?
You know, normally I preach out here,
so
I'm good.
Do you want to stand?
Oh, that's okay. Nah, I'll just hold it. Yeah. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse, okay? But we like to read through verses 4 to 8. And I just want to ask you, what are verses 4 to 8 talking about, okay? By the way, what version of the Bible do you guys use? I use the NASB. New King James. Is that kind of what the church uses, New King James?
ESV.
Numeric
Standard.
Okay.
The church.
Yeah, I understand.
New King James. But.
Okay. All righty. All right. Can somebody read verses 4 to 8? Philippians 4, 4 to 8.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. I will say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And verse 8.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Okay, so what are these verses talking about?
Prayer.
Okay, we got prayer. Huh?
Our mindset.
Okay, mindset, sure. Thinking, yeah.
Thankfulness.
Excuse me?
Thankfulness.
Yeah, thankfulness.
Worry.
Overcoming
anxiety.
Sure, rejoicing. Anything else?
Peace.
Yeah, peace. Sure, peace, yeah. You got supernatural peace here. Anything else you think? What are the key words in this passage?
Rejoicing.
Okay, sure, rejoicing. Yep.
Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yep, okay. Right, so we have all of those things. So yeah, this passage is going to be rejoice, 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 give thanks, pray, so that I will have peace. Okay, that's really what this is going to be leading up to, is, you know, because he's talking about that. God wants to give us a supernatural peace, and that is what it is. Because he says, my peace I leave with you, it's not as the world gives. You know, my peace is different. It is a supernatural peace, is what he's talking about here. Now, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. If you were to say that in your own words, how would you say it?
Be happy.
Okay, be happy. Okay. I'm excited about the Lord. All right, think about Jesus, because he fulfilled this perfectly. Seriously, he is the example. He was rejoicing. Anybody else? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. How would you say it?
So are you thinking of Jesus when he keeps his mindset on the joy that is before him so that he can endure the cross?
Well, that's at the end, but yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is that it's easy to have a pie-in-the-sky idea of a Christian, you know, what a Christian is. But you look at Jesus, he was just a very down-to-earth man, you know, walking moment by moment, you know. And he wasn't always saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, my soul up magnifies the Lord. He didn't do that. He just, you know, but his heart was always focused. He was always thinking truth. He always had an attitude of praise. And he knew the cross was coming, and yet it wasn't until the very last 24 hours when he began to become sorrowful. Okay? So he was the perfect example. Okay? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, always be rejoicing in the Lord. I'll tell you a second time, rejoice. That's the way I would say it. Something like that, right? Pretty easy verse, right? Okay, I'd say so. Now, Paul doesn't emphasize this in most of his other letters. I don't see this in Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, you know, Thessalonians maybe a little bit. Timothy, yeah, somewhat. But he really does do it here in Philippians. Why is that? Any idea why Philippians?
He's in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison. But he was in prison also for 1 and 2 Timothy, Ephesians, and those others. Right. Yeah, it did. It did. Right. Now, the lazy church was Thessalonica. Right? This church is kind of a little bit of a dead church, and it's also a divided church. We've got two women, two factions, and there were a lot of issues, and the church was not doing so well, okay? And so, yeah, this is the church, and they're just going through, so they're going through persecution on the outside, and they're going through eternal strife on the inside. And one of his major things is learn to love wisely, okay? Learn to love wisely. And so anyway, so he's talking to this church, and he says, I want you to learn to rejoice. Now, Paul gives an example of that. I mean, seriously, Paul's about to die. He's about to die, and this would be very, very hard. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed, but for Paul, and he says, everybody from the province of Asia that was there, they've all deserted me, you know, and he's naming pastors and people, and he was left all alone, and he's hidden away, this mighty, mighty giant of a man, and he's going to be killed. And it would have been very, very easy to despair. And don't kid yourself. I think that was a hard time for him, you know, but he rejoiced. So do me a favor and just jump over to 2 Timothy 4:6. Okay, now you're not going to hear the word rejoice, but I think that's what he's doing as he looks at these words. Somebody read verses 6 through 8.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only me, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance.
Right, okay, so Paul is not saying, I thank you for my circumstances, and I thank you for my health, and I thank you for my money. He's not saying that. He's going to the real sure thing, which is his future, and he says, this is what awaits me, you know. I'm confident. I trust the Lord. I've given the Lord, you know, my hours, my time, my suffering and everything, and I know he's going to reward me for that. And so what I see in these verses is that simply is Paul is rejoicing. You know, he's rejoicing. And I do that also. I say, you know, you rejoice in the Lord. You think about what's coming in the future, and I've learned to rejoice in that. Now, here's the thing. None of us do this too much. Would you agree with that? None of us rejoice too much. Do you ever find that you come to the end of the day and maybe you're not happy because you didn't get your to-do list done or didn't do this, this didn't go right? That happened to you? Right? Right. Yeah, well, it happens to me as well. Right. So we don't rejoice too much. We criticize and we complain, okay, but it's hard for us to rejoice. So what's verse 4 teaching us? Philippians 4:4, what's it teaching us? You know, all the time. Yeah, rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, all the time. Rejoice in the Lord. Right. Now, let's just jump back. Jump back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Let's just walk through this. This is not going to be an in-depth exposition of Psalm 32. It's just going to walk through it quickly. And why is David rejoicing? You're especially going to see it in the very end. He's going to say, bring in rejoice. So Psalm 32, why is David rejoicing? So can somebody read verses 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm. How blessed is the man that whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
Wow, okay. You know, there are certain times in life when things just strike me. A couple months ago, it just struck me. I might have been watching something on TV, and it just struck me, and I said, I am so thankful I'm not a slave. Mm-hmm. Because in the early church, the majority of the church, as I understand, was made up of slaves. You know, you had your pastor was a slave. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'm so grateful. I mean, I'm grateful I'm not in prison. I'm grateful I'm not in the hospital, you know, but look at this. I am grateful because, yeah, my sins will never be taken against me, right? Now, Paul's going to bring this out two more times. Paul's going to bring this out two times in the New Testament. You know where he says that at? You know where this verse comes in the New Testament? Any idea? This is going to be in Romans chapter 4 where he talks about imputing righteousness. And he quotes this verse from David. And then jump with me, put your finger there because we're going back, but jump with me to 2 Corinthians 5:19. 2 Corinthians 5:19 to 21. Wow, seriously. Those passages alone are worth the weight of the book. They're an incredible doctrine. 21 is incredible doctrine. 21 is probably one of the clearest examples of justification. It's just beautiful. And 2 Corinthians 5:19, what's that say? Romans 4 is going to say it one way. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says it the other way. Okay? Somebody want to read? 2 Corinthians 5:19. Matthew, you got it?
Yes.
God, do it.
Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he
Yeah, isn't that amazing? God is not counting your sins against you. I'll never know the wrath of God. Judgment there, nothing. I'll never know God's wrath because my sin was taken care of in Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm at peace with God now. God's at peace with me because of what Jesus Christ has done, right? Is that a reason for rejoicing? Man, brothers, that's it. Everything else can go wrong, but I know the Lord. I'll never know hell. I'll never know the wrath of God. That sin is done with. That's done. That whole, it's just taken care of, okay? So jump back. Jump back. By the way, once again, it's just an outstanding verse. And later on, look at Romans 4 because it gives the inverse side of it. But anyway, let's jump back just to Psalm 32. So he said, David lays a base. How blessed is the man whom God has forgiven. Now, this is kind of interesting because it was reminding me just a little bit this morning about what you were sharing, which I don't know if it was sin. I don't know where that becomes sin or not. In verse 3, he says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Has that ever happened to you? Is there anybody here it hasn't happened to? Right? You walk away from God, or how about when you spend a few days and you're not in the Word or you're not in prayer? You just kind of start, you start withering and you're not doing so well, right? Yeah, so here's David, and David. Here's the thing that's interesting is that I'm 57 now, and I'm slowly, I'm coming to the point where I'm realizing the saints of old weren't always so saintly, you know, because we always put them on a pedestal as they're perfect people. They weren't perfect people. They were us, okay? They were godly people. He was a very, very godly man. I mean, come on, David had his failures also, right? Yeah. So he says, when I kept silent about my sin, this is David, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Isn't that delightful? Don't you love it when you go to bed and your conscience kills you? Isn't that fun? You guys know about the conscience fund, right, with the IRS? So one guy wrote in, and he says, you know, my conscience just won't stop. So that's why I'm sending this money. And he says, if my conscience still won't stop, then I'll send you the rest. So he says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Wow. Wow. Vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Okay. So David had sinned, and he did this. I acknowledge, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. This is interesting because this is what you were talking about this morning. There are times when God can be found and times when God cannot be found. And this is one of the times. He says, pray, pray. Okay. Verse 7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Okay. Okay. So he's gone through trials, and now he's confessing his sin, and he says, you're my hiding place, you preserve me from trouble, you surround me with songs. Now, we've got different age groups here, okay, we have all different age groups. Have you found out that life can be difficult at times? Have you found that? Okay, have you ever despaired? Have you ever despaired? Maybe, maybe not, it depends on what you've gone through. Okay, it depends on how things have gotten. Some people do. I mean, sometimes life can be very dark. Sometimes life can be very dark. And sometimes life for us has been very dark. And I was thinking about it a couple months ago, and I was thinking, and we were talking about it, and it's one of those things that you knock on wood, you know. But it's like, you know, we've gone through these things, but I'm so, so grateful because it's been a long time. This is scary to say. It's been a long time we don't have a car accident. Okay, you know what I mean when I say it's scary to say? I was 16 and I said, I was 16 and I said, man, this car is so good, nothing will ever happen. I put it in reverse and there was a clunk, okay? So that's when I learned to work on transmissions, okay? We haven't had hospital issues, haven't, the Lord's been very gracious to us in providing, you know, month by month we make it, you know, we're able to make it. We don't have cancer that we know of, you know, seriously. I mean, so you look at it and you say, yeah, the Lord has allowed us to go through this trial. And this trial that we're going through is very difficult. And we've got this one over here and that's very difficult. But at the same time, I rejoice because there's many trials the Lord has not allowed me to go through. You guys ever realize how life is a life of cards? I mean, life could just be destroyed in a second. Right? I mean, your life could fall apart instantly. There are so many things that God could just allow to happen, boom, 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 in your life, and you'd be like Job. And that'd be very easy to happen. But look how God keeps you afloat. Right? God blesses you. He takes care of you. His eye is upon you. Isn't that true? It is. It is. And those are things we think about because we want to rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Look at verse 9. Don't be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding. You ever been a horse or a mule? Raise your hand. Anybody, any horses and mules here? Right, I'm not the only one, right? Right, okay, right. So don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Right, so God doesn't want to have to, you know, put a harness on us or a halter or anything like that or a bridle. He doesn't want to have to do that to pull us in. He wants us, you know, like the horse whisperer, you know, just, you know, come here and the horse comes. That's what God wants. We want to just come to God, right. Yeah. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Okay, so good. So that's what David is saying. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And then David is saying, yeah, you're such a gracious God. You've forgiven me all my sins. You know, I got in this sin, and it was just wretched. But then I called out to you, and you forgave me, and you're always near to me. And what you want is for me just to walk with you closely. You know, that you don't have to discipline me. That's what you want. And then he ends up saying, God is so good, and rejoice in him. So let's just practice a little bit. Why? What are some areas we're wrapping up this section? What are some areas that we could rejoice in? Because every Sunday in our church, I always say, what are some things that, what have you learned in the Word, or what are some areas that we rejoice in? And I always hear, we rejoice in God because for health, yeah, and family. That's just about it. That's just about it. Okay, they have a hard time breaking out of that. So why? Give me some areas that we could rejoice in.
Your sins forgiven.
Yeah, spiritually, your sins forgiven. So let's stay in the spiritual realm. What else?
First word.
Oh, yeah, the Word of God. Wow.
I think of Brazos' testimony, which is the voice that God speaks to us.
Yeah.
The Spirit speaking to us through the Word of God.
Yeah. Yeah, Word of God, yeah. I'm always impressed by Peter, because he always said that. He says, you know, I had a wonderful experience, just go to the Word. Go to the Word. You know, go to the Word of God. Yeah, God, yeah. Right. Anybody else?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that Adam had the Holy Spirit. I don't know that he had that. Right. Yes, ma'am.
Or the fact that God is in control, as he says so. Mm-hmm. Rest in that lot.
Yeah. Yeah. God's in control. Yeah.
And couple that with the fact that he loves you.
Yeah.
Because one is not any good without the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And we look around and we say, he loves you. Got me. Why? You know, because, I mean, it's, listen. It's easy to think, well, I understand why God likes me. You know, and it's like, why does he, but no, it's so good. It's so good because God does. He's very loving. He's very, so very loving. Yeah, okay. Now we've kind of bridged over. Now we're talking about the character of God. Okay? Yeah, okay. What else? Tell me, why do you rejoice in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he took the cross. Yeah, right. By the way, these are good things to write down, just areas, because what happens is that in the dark times, it's hard to remember. In fact, I remember one time, and my wife said, rejoice, and I said, I can't. I really was empty. And I said, help me. And so she did, and she just started, you know, helping me think through areas where we could rejoice about, right? So that's why it's good to have a list of ideas. It's good to keep a journal, too. To say, this is what God has done for me. Okay? So why do we rejoice in Jesus?
Example.
Huh?
Example that we have in the Bible.
Yep. Why do we rejoice in Jesus? Oh, his example. Example of Jesus, yeah. Very patient, kind, extremely wise. It's horribly impressed at how wise he was. Yeah. 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 Yeah, right. Intercedes for us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Leave me in the state I am. He's going to take
Sure. Yeah.
The promise that
he's coming back. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to rule and reign, right? We're going to rule and reign with him, right? We're going to come back on horses. Yeah, I hope you know how to ride a horse. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he took the nails. He did that. Yeah. How about God? Why do you rejoice in God?
He sent Jesus.
Okay, he sent the Son. Mm-hmm.
He created me in his image and likeness.
Okay. Yeah.
His creator.
Yeah. Yeah, an incredible creator. Oh, how immensely profound. Yeah. How about this? God is holy. What would happen if God were not holy? Oh, we'd all be toast. Yeah, he loves me, he loves me not. Right, okay, right. How about circumstances? How about things that God has done for you? Anything else? Yep.
Preserving marriages.
Yeah, marriage isn't easy, is it?
Yeah.
Nope.
I think it's he's planned our life out for us.
Right.
We don't have to plan it.
He provides for us.
Yeah, I know it's different context, but it still applies to us. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not for evil, plans for future and a hope. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I wrote down, this is all in Spanish, I'll translate it back. One of the things I try to do is I get up in the morning I go up on the roof. It's a cement roof. I go up on the roof and I've got a chair up there and I just sit and I look at the stars and I just thank the Lord. And I try to rejoice. I try to rejoice for yesterday also, which is very good because it changes my focus. Instead of I didn't get this and this and this done or this went wrong, it changes my focus. I'm thankful for what did happen. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in the Lord. God is loving, he's merciful, he's my Savior, he's good, he's patient, he's big, he's wise, he's powerful, he can't change, he can't get worse. I rejoice in the future, in heaven, rewards, and I think that's what happened for Paul in the hard times. And that's what he's telling this church is just going through hard times. Now, when you're going through hard times, it's not the easy time. That's not the easy time to rejoice. God says that's when you want to especially rejoice, when you're going through those hard times. That's when you rejoice, okay? So that's the teaching of the verse, right? Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, right? It's an easy verse to understand, correct? Right, right. What's the discipline that we get out of that? What's the thing that God wants us to do? Rejoice. So I said, make a list of things. Write them down on your phone, write them down on your refrigerator, write them down in your diary, in your journal, whatever. It's good. Make a list of things where I can rejoice in. Because this is, God says, this is something you want to do, okay? And that's part of what that supernatural peace of God is where it comes from. Another thing, keep a journal. Write down, God has taken care of me. God has done this. This is why I rejoice. Share it with other people on Sunday. Something good comes along. You guys have that opportunity to share with others. Get up in the morning and rejoice. Start your day off rejoicing. And if you have a hard time, get a friend to help you. Right? Right? Good. Are you guys ready for part two? Karen grew up in Spain. She was 5 years old when they took the boat over. So she grew up speaking Spanish. Our three children grew up in Spain, so they also speak the language. The worst one in the family for speaking the language is Dad. That's right, Dad. Right. But we moved to Spain back in 1991, and then in 2002 we moved to Puerto Rico. So we've been in Luquillo. We've been in Puerto Rico for 16 years, and Luquillo the great majority of that time. Lord's blessed. A lot of people come to the Lord in that time. Here's the other half. I don't know. I'd say about probably a half or two-thirds of our church now live in America. So you get people, you know, you work with people, and they're coming along. Manuel was preaching. In fact, he was paid staff for a while, and they moved to the States, finished up his doctorate in music, and they live in California. You know, and that, I think, has probably been one of our struggles, is that it's so fluid. And now we've had such a brain drain on Puerto Rico because of everything that's happened, not only Maria, but also the economy, you know, working with that. So that's where that's at right now. Our daughter, our oldest daughter, Lisa, is 30. She's working with the children's ministry, has a couple of kids clubs, and just working with that. We'll see what happens. Right now there are two countries in the world with child evangelism fellowship that don't have a director. One is Puerto Rico and the other is? Yeah, North Korea. So our director quit about 4 years ago. Wouldn't surprise me. We'll see. I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if she took over that position at some point in the future. We'll see. That's where the Lord leads her. That's kind of where she's at. Our son Daniel, he's our second born. He's 26. He's married. Two kids are moving to the island of St. Martin August 1st. Wants to work on his doctorate. And he works in the ER. And so that he loves that kind of stuff. I couldn't. ER is not for me, you know. So we'll get to see them next week up in Wisconsin. And then Jonathan is 22, right? Jonathan is Lisa plays harp as well, but Jonathan's our big time. He's the musician of the family, yeah. He's a harpist. He's now the official harpist for the Philharmonic in Puerto Rico. So he plays that and piano and all those other kinds. And he's learning to sing and just a lovely kid. It's always interesting when your kids grow up and they just so far outshine you in certain areas. There's just so many things that I just don't have. You know, it's just the way it is. So anyway, rejoice of those. Anyway, just tell you this a little bit about our family. So the two of Lisa and Jonathan live across the street from us. Okay, so they're there. What that means is, Dad, the faucet won't shut off, or Dad, can I borrow the lawnmower, or Dad, help me fix my van, or whatever. Okay, so we're happy to do that. I want to share a few odds and ends. In the last couple of years, I think one of the most important things that shaped my ministry, and there's been several, but one of them is something very, very simple. But for some reason, simple things aren't always easy to see. And simply this, when Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, I really think if we were to take that word, I could easily say, go into all the world and make shepherds. Because discipleship really is the care of souls. So what God is saying to every person here is that he wants you to be caring for the soul of someone, believer or unbeliever. So what that means is that my goal as a pastor or as a church planner or whatever is to help my people start shepherding others. Okay? That's really changed the focus of where we're at. That's where we're going. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question that I asked last night. This is a list that we drew up last night. And then we'll get into a little bit more to our ministry, I think. One of the most important things a pastor can do is? Help me out. One of the most important things a pastor can do is? All right, teach truth, all right? Number one, teach truth. What else? Huh? Yeah, pray. Yeah. Yep, encourage people there in shepherding.
Be an example.
Be an example.
Love their family.
Love their family. Okay. I wrote down a list. It doesn't mean that they're all right, but I wrote them down. Provide a loving atmosphere. Is that important? Okay. Promote worship. Okay. Have an excellent Sunday service. Okay. Promote prayer, help us evangelize, promote small groups, help me be involved in ministry, create an atmosphere where I have friends. Are those the core things? Yeah, they're nice. I would hope for those things, but they're not the core things, are they? What would be the core thing? Yeah, teaching, making disciples, absolutely. Yeah, right. And here's what I've found. I seek to be a good teacher. But if my people aren't in the Word, it doesn't work. Is that true? How do you help your people live in Christ? See, to me, I look at it and I say, one, teach truth. Two, help my people develop Christian disciplines. What are some Christian disciplines that we would want to help our people develop? Okay, pray. Every Sunday when we have the prayer time here, we have a personal moment.
Pray all the time.
Okay. And we all do that, right? We all pray without ceasing. Okay, good. Something else that would be very, very important. You say, I want to help somebody grow in Christ. What are personal disciplines I want him or that this man or woman to develop?
Regular Bible time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Regular time in the Word and in prayer. Right. Huge. So I look at my youth group right now and I say, wow, too many of my kids are carnal. And you say, how do you get them to do that? How, you know, I'm sitting here, and Lisa right now has taken over the youth ministry and Jonathan, and they're doing a great job, but I still look at it and I say, listen, you can be a great teacher, but it has to go beyond. It has to be, how can I foster that? Time in the Word. How can we do that? Okay? So anyway, lately I'm going to transition now a little bit. Lately I've been thinking through ministry. We'll see what God does. I think it's time to start looking for a man to come in and start supplementing the work. I have not had any men outside of Manuel in the time I've been there who I can train for ministry. I haven't had any men. I continue to look. I don't have any men. I don't have that. I have men right now who preach and who help out, but men who could be involved full-time or even part-time or even take part in leadership, I haven't had that. And I sit back and I say, Lord, what is this? I don't know. It's very difficult. Also, the area that we work in is very inner city culture, okay? That's a difficult person to work with also to help them come up and to take leadership. But that's one of the things that we want to start looking at is bringing in a young man and have him start preaching, okay? That's one of the things that we're wanting to do here in the future, talking about prayer request, okay? That's where we're going. Another thing is I've continued to look. I was looking at a mission, used to be called Grace Missions International, I think. They're similar to our mission. And it was interesting because they have something which I want to try. And it's simply this. They get together in groups of four maximum. And men and women are separate. And what they do is they take about an hour. So you get together once a week, and they take about an hour, and they go over eight questions. Now, these eight questions, I think, are going to get old after a while, and so you're going to have to change them up. But I started doing it. And immediately, the response that I got with my first two groups was, wow, I need to be in the Word. And I said, this is what I'm wanting. Because what happens is it's calling for mutual accountability. And let me give you just a few of the questions. How have you sensed God's presence in your life this past week? Now, here's what I find. Normally, we don't necessarily get to talk about those things. But when we ask that question, all of a sudden, lives start opening up. People start opening up. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. Wow, that's really cool to hear. It's encouraging. Have you received a specific answer to your prayers? What was it? Okay, and if anybody wants this, I'll email them to you or text you. Okay, have you received a specific answer to prayer? What was it? Okay, yeah. Have you spoken with a non-believer about your faith in Jesus Christ? With whom? Oh, that's a challenge. Well, when was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Okay. Mm-hmm. Number four, to whom have you shown God's love during this past week? Perhaps somebody that you find difficult to love. That would be my neighbor. Okay? They're difficult people. They're very difficult people. I'm glad they're four houses away. Number five, what have you learned about God in your personal Bible reading this past week, and how was your consistency? And what's nice about that is that you're providing mutual accountability. And I think that is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. The basis of this is not a Bible study leader. This is not based on I'm really, really good at leading a study or I'm really interesting. It is not that. This is a matter of people who are getting together and encouraging one another. And then later on, we're going to talk about God's Word, which each one has studied during the week. Okay. As a result of your Bible reading this past week, how have you determined to better obey God? Okay. What area of your life do you feel that God most wants to change? Be specific. And have you taken specific steps to make those changes? And what good habit do you feel that God wants to form in your life? Be specific. So what I'm wanting to do, when we go back, is I'm wanting to start building up groups of four and sit down with Karen and just start looking at the church and saying who would work with whom. Okay? I'd like to start that. Because I look at it and I say, how can I help our people? And my culture is not known for discipline. Okay? My culture is not known for discipline. And so to get them to spend 10 minutes or 30 minutes a day, you know, is really, really a stretch. Okay? That's a stretch for where I live in dealing with our people. One of my guys, Christian, he's a good guy. He's 31. He mows lawns. He's our treasurer. He stutters very, very badly. And it's very hard for him to read. And we got together the first time, and Chris never comes. He always comes a half hour late and never does his homework and never does time in the Word or prayer. And we got done with this, and I said, so what, you know, what good habit do you feel God wants to form in your life? He says, I need to get in the Word. I said, oh, man, what is your plan? How much? He says, 30 minutes. I said, a week? He says, no, a day. I said, whoa. Now, that, guys, I don't know what that means to you, but for me, that's really a major step, you know, in working with people like that. So when we get back, we're wanting to start working with groups. And then we have a number of other things we're wanting to do. Another thing we're wanting to do also, I'd love to start a camp ministry. And the reason is when I say camp, I don't mean going like we did family camp. I mean buying a 12-person tent from Amazon and taking three kids from my church and three unchurched friends and spending 2 days with them. I mean, wouldn't you love to spend 2 days with an unbeliever in a Christian environment where they're hearing the Word? I just think that would be a tremendous thing, and so I'm praying about that. So anyway, okay? So that's just kind of a short update on what's going on in our lives, okay? So I don't know if anybody has any questions or not. We're pretty much coming to our time limit there.
You're a brave man wanting to take six kids camping.
Well, I tell you, I sometimes wonder. I say, yeah. What I want to do really is get a lot of people from our church involved. You do this, you do that, you know. I look at it as a great opportunity. I'll go visit families beforehand and talk to mom. Probably not a dad. Normally there's not a dad in the picture. Talk to mom or grandma. And so, anyway, Carla, her birthday is on my birthday. And so she's a special gal. She's probably got a little bit something just not right. But her mom's a prostitute, and you'll see her sometimes underneath the bridge. And but she's a very faithful gal. Works with Lisa all the time and helping out, you know. And so yeah, taking some of these kids, you know, getting some of their friends, trying to reach their families.
Hear about Noel and we as well about you know how that all plays out. This discipling, you know.
Yeah, so sure.
Some may remember, I think I had shared a family camp, but some part wouldn't.
Yeah. Noel is Asperger's. Yeah, Asperger's. Yeah, so Noel is very intelligent, but extremely shy. If there's a piece of paper on the floor, he could never, ever reach down and pick up that piece of paper. If you said to him, will you pick up the piece of paper, then he can do it. Okay, Asperger's, people with Asperger's are the kind of people you take to Walmart and they put every DVD perfectly in line because they're very, very detailed. So that's Noel. Noel can preach and do a good job for about 10 minutes. Okay, and so I actually started doing that with him. But Noel, also I'll say, Noel, could you disciple this person? Now remember, conversation is very hard for him. But then what happened is that he started working with Wiso. Wiso came to the Lord about 3-4 years ago. Wiso is now, his name is Luis, but his nickname is Wiso. And so Noel just started getting together with him once a week, you know, and taking him through Bible studies and all that. Wiso's actually our furthest ahead in Bible college. He's 81. He's doing Bible college, you know, home study. So, yeah, yeah.
But Noel couldn't go to Weasel's house. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. He couldn't go to Weasel's house because he'd have to knock on the door. He couldn't do that. So Weasel actually got in his car, drove around the corner, picked up Noel, and brought him to his house. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Or
I'd both pick up Noel and I'd take him over to Weasel's house.
And
yeah.
Knock on Weasel's door.
Right, because he couldn't knock on a door.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
I was just curious, have you, two questions. Have you completely recovered from the hurricane?
Uh-huh.
And did you see any fruit from the ministry that you did out of the hurricane?
No, I wouldn't say complete recovery. I mean, there's still a huge sign that's fallen over on top of apartment building. There's some traffic lights that are still out. But for the most part, people up on the mountains, I don't know if they'll ever get their electricity back, you know, because it's just so much work to get back up there. But for the most part, honestly, yeah. Much fruit out of that? Much fruit out of that?
It's a sowing thing.
Yeah.
Better relationship with neighbors.
Right, 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 right. That's what I would say. I don't look at it as being a... I don't see it as being a highly fruitful time. Okay? It's good in the sense that you have a good reputation. In fact, the post office, once a year they hand out free food. They have a food drive. And what do they do with the food? They contact our church. And they say, would you please give this food away? You know, and so Jake does that. He's done that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Bob, I heard you're remembering this incorrectly, but I thought when you came to family camp, there was another couple
yeah.
that was going to come and
right.
start working.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Jake and Elizabeth came. They were with us for 2 years.
Okay.
And we knew it from the beginning. Jake just doesn't have language ability. He just doesn't. Okay? To say buenos dias, como estas, would he could do that after 2 years. Okay? Good morning, how are you? But he doesn't have it. And we all knew that. And a church in a couple towns over, I don't know how many more years they had left. They're down to 12 people. And it's an English-speaking church, and they asked him to become the pastor, and so he's taken that over. And I'm glad. I think that's a good fit for him. Yeah, yeah, and I think he'll do well. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good.
When you were at family camp, you shared your vision of trying to raise up and train shepherds.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, the hurdle. Listen, the concept's great. I had a hard time. First of all, who do you disciple? Because you got to reach out beyond your church. And then the thing is that the people you're discipling, you know, they're not faithful to do anything. And that's really, to be honest with you, has been the hurdle. That's been the hard thing. That's why I'm hoping, you know, as I look at this, I'm saying, you know, will this work out? What impact will this have? Will we do groups of four, more of it self, you know, working with one another, that kind of thing? I could see that as a good option. The concept, once again, is get away from me. Get ministry away from me. So, but it is, Simada has been working with Rosa. Rosa's not a believer, and she gets together with her more or less once a week. Rosa comes to church with her little girl, and Rosa's ex-boyfriend also comes to church, but can't count on him. Simada's husband tried to do an evangelistic study with him, but just couldn't. He just doesn't show up, that kind of stuff, yeah. It's not that I'm not still heading in that direction, but I'm saying, how can I get there? That's what I believe we need to do. And I'm also thinking, if the camping ministry, if I have the energy, if I can handle 2 days of it, I'm serious on that, if I can handle that, what I really want to do is draw people in. And then, like, I want to visit the parents. Even if they don't need a visit, I want to visit them and talk with them and take people with me and get people involved, right? Yeah. Okay, good. I think we're good. Today's Father's Day. It means we get to go home and enjoy. How many people here are going out to lunch today? Nobody? Some? Okay, I'm going out to lunch. Going over to Bob and Marcia's. We got some pictures back there. They're just pictures. They don't have any information on them, but they're back in the foyer. Hopefully next week we're up in Wisconsin. We'll have a picture made up, maybe with our whole family. I don't know. That'd be nice. And then we'll make that available. That's one. I don't have a piece of paper, but if you would like to receive our prayer letter update, bmwmissionary@gmail.com. Just drop me an email and we'll do that. Okay? Yeah?
You said you could email those questions that you have.
Yes, sir. So yeah.
You should have.
So, yeah.
So send those to me.
Sure.
Do you have Steve's address?
I don't know.
So just send it to me. I'll send it to Steve. Steve
okay.
Put it out there with our church.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Good. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Good to share with you this morning. Good to meet you. Yeah.
Let's, I'll close. Maybe we'll do it like Paul. Is there Acapulco? I mean, it's kind of Caribbean, you know, so it's kind of.